someone else?
Yeah, I think that that this is just part of our responsibility as a board member. You know, we talk about having training. We basically need basic board training. That when you bring a motion forward, you have to have an idea of, you know, it can't just be the emotional thing and going with it. You have to have an idea, a concrete idea in terms of what the motion is going to do, you know, the impact and also the process. And that, you know, and I think that it's up to us. I think this is very good, Lonnie, that, you know, to bring some type of, you know, as part of our responsibility as members of the board. So I would strongly recommend this. You know, I was just a little alarmed by the movement of these motions without any structure to what it's going to accomplish, how it's structured, you know, what it costs. And again, you know, whether I believe in it or not, I'm sorry, I'm talking too much. Anyway, okay, thank you. So we'll work on this and we'll go to, we'll, you know, hopefully have something drafted in final form by Monday.
Madam Chair?
Sure, Lonnie.
You know, the existing policy had two parts. One was financial impact, but it also required that the maker of a motion identify the source of funds.
Mm-hmm, yes.
That could be related to the budget.
If right.
Item outside the budget, you sort of want to know that right away. So if there, you know, I think that motion, as it was written, did include that the maker identify the source of funds.
Right.
That's it.
Casey?
Well, I was just going to say that you have a motion on the floor, so I would move to postpone it until July 17th, 2006.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, without opposition for me, fine.
All right. Okay, thank you. And this will cover the other, as David mentioned, the retreat, the personal committee retreat for the next board meeting in Berkeley. So that kind of covers that too, because the motion before the PNB that was approved was that the personal committee would have be the sponsor, I guess, of a retreat and before the Berkeley board meeting. So there's a question of whether the people it would be staff plus the personal committee, and the question is whether the meeting would actually, the retreat would be on that Thursday or that Friday. And
it was clarified that it would not be on Friday.
Oh, so the retreat would be on Thursday. So again, the financial impact and what we're trying to accomplish. But I think the proposal, the motion was initially made in executive session, but I believe we can't discuss the fact that the motion was a motion that was approved, and it was this retreat. Okay, so would anyone like to discuss that more, or should we move on? Okay, this is great. Okay, so the financial impact on board and meeting expenses, we had asked for an update on that for each meeting, and I guess I'd have to ask Lonnie.
This is timely because as we look at the current expenditures for the board meetings, the New York board meeting does turn out to be expensive, and I have just two or three ideas that I wanted to just briefly put out there. One is that that in looking to save money, whether or not we would entertain a recommendation from this committee to have three board meetings a year rather than four, and we would keep the current rotation, but we would save money in having $35,000, $40,000, sometimes $50,000 would be saved if we had three rather than four a year. The other issue on the board expenses is that there are a couple of board proposals that do impact the current board budget, and I guess we can talk about that at the next meeting, because I'm going to have to cross those items out, the proposal for a retreat, the proposal for division training, the idea of a committee being constituted that would travel. Those have budgetary impacts, and I'm looking for ways which to save money against those anticipated expenses. And the other one that I mentioned before is whether or not the board would entertain, or whether this committee would recommend the board commit to raising $50,000 next year against those expenses coming from the board itself. And then we have legal. As we all know, if board members do actively become involved in asking questions of an attorney, we have a budget. The board itself has a budget for legal. And the question is, how do you manage that budget for legal that the board has? And I would, of course, speak up and say, look, we're going to spend all the money in this particular line item. We'll have to reallocate it or identify where the source of funds will come from. So those are the areas around board expenses that I'm thinking we should. We're already on the path of taking up some of them, but that is maybe something to discuss at that next meeting as well, about how we will manage those related board expenses. And
finance, national finance.
The question, I'm sorry, in our bylaws, I don't have them here. In fact, I guess I can find them here. Does it say, I mean, does it specifically say there should be four board meetings? Or?
Yeah, and it fixes the dates of them, so that part would take a bylaws change. But we could do that if we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we would obviously need the approval of the, we'd have to go through the bylaws approval process.
Right. My opinion is that I think that's a good idea, because I think that what happens with the national staff is that you get into this cycle where your in terms of your work is like, once the one board meeting is over, you're looking at, you know, trying to generate, you know, your product for your next board meeting. And I think if you have a longer lead time, that some of the action items that are given could be handled in addition, in terms of quality work or productivity would be increased if you could do three meetings per year versus four.
This is Patty.
Yes. Patty?
Yeah, I was almost going to write that motion at the last meeting, so I think it's a good idea. I think that they can be spaced out at least three times a year. I think it would be a good idea. I'd rather do that than raise money, personally.
Okay. So, are you going to take that as an action, Patty, to actually look at doing a motion for a bylaws change on the meeting number of meetings per year?
Am I supposed to do? Let me apologize at the moment. I'm at the local station board meeting too, and it's very hard to do both things. So, no, I support it. I wasn't going to do anything about it right now.
Okay.
Did you want me to?
I think that if we move on it, I think that would be a good idea myself. That if someone started.
What a quick question?
Lonnie.
Yeah, well, you know, that March board meeting, because we have to do the December, January board, because we're seating new boards.
Right.
We have to do September because of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea, would it be illegal to skip, say, the March meeting? And then simply you're out of sequence, but you haven't, you know, no station has been left out.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We're still in rotation. But I'm wondering if we require a bylaw change to say we're going to skip a meeting at least for 1 year on a one-time basis and see how that actually works out.
It would require a bylaws change.
Yeah.
The bylaws specify. Well, actually, it's interesting because Robert says that things that are in the bylaws that are in, quote, the form of a rule of order can be changed by the board by a two-thirds vote without, or you can adopt a special rule of vote or
special rule, yeah.
that supersedes it. And so then the question is, what constitutes something that is in the form of a rule of order? And I researched could, and what it comes up with is that things that are in the rule of an order have to do with the order in which business is conducted. And so then you'd have to have an interpretation that said that, you know, the meeting dates were that. Yeah?
Well, the problem is that our bylaws say Roberts is only the authority where it doesn't conflict with what's in the bylaws.
Right. But
so you've got them in the wrong order. Roberts doesn't let us retroactively declare parts of the bylaws special rules of order and then change them outside the process in there. You have to go through the bylaws revision process.
Well, if that were the case, then it would always be the case that you could never pass something that changes a rule, something in the bylaws that's in the form of a rule of order. the provision in Roberts specifically speaks to when things in the bylaws are in the form of a rule of order. And since the bylaws don't talk about that, then in that case, Roberts would prevail. Because otherwise, that's a meaningless provision of Roberts, right? Wouldn't it always be the case?
Oh, I'm lost.
Lonnie?
Yeah. Dave, quick question. Could a board simply postpone a meeting without violating the bylaws or Roberts?
Well, in our case, because the bylaws specify these meetings at these times, the only process that I know of that it can engage without being in violation of its bylaws is to declare or to assert that this is in the form of a rule of order. And Roberts is so vague on that it's hard to know. I've actually talked to parliamentarians about this as well. And I just think it's vague. So you could do it. I mean, you talk about legality, and what that really means is, you know, what happens if someone sues you? It's not a question until somebody sues you. So are you making a good faith effort to comply with the spirit of the bylaws? You could say you are, but other people in Pacifica might argue you weren't. So you could engage this process. If anybody sued you, no judge would probably look at it. It possibly wouldn't even get past the demurrer. So, you know, it's a question. There are other folks who are going to want to say, yes, you should pass this as a bylaws change. But we have, at least on one occasion in the past, done a special rule of order to supersede the bylaws, and that was in the way we elected affiliate reps.
Okay. You know, the other thing is that, you know, I'm trying to think, you know, how difficult would it be to do the bylaws change? I mean, in terms of, everything is, not everything, but the board can become so fractured in terms of political sides and whether you support something or not. But, you know, I think that this is kind of like a very simple thing that I would think that people should support. That, again, is part of our fiduciary responsibility, and that we definitely need this in terms of an increase in productivity on the national staff.
Yeah,
is it Patty?
Oh. Patty? I'm sorry, Lonnie, was that you?
Patty, I think.
Okay.
No, I wanted to move to another question on this financial meeting stuff, so whenever you're done with this one.
Go ahead, Lonnie. I think where we are is just basically is that we're going to do the motion, and we'll have it for Monday, and that we are considering now, I'm off. That we are considering that, you know, what is the way to get this done in terms of having three meetings in fiscal 07, and the consideration is the bylaws change versus the special rule, and, the other question is, you know, how difficult should it be in terms of the board members supporting this and, you know, in terms of getting this process and going through it quickly. So,
Brian,
anyway.
With 2 cents.
Sure.
One other thing that has struck me that racks up the expenses with these meetings is that the rotation is fixed. For instance, in New York, you had your most recent meeting there at a time of year when hotels cost twice as much as they might at another time of year. And the bylaws had effectively locked you into having it there. I wonder if the solution, rather than creating a fixed rotation at three times a year, is just to make the bylaws a little bit more flexible on meeting frequency and rotation in general. Do you know what I mean? It almost seems like the bylaws are over-specific on this, and that what you should have is a rule of order. A special rule of order in lieu of bylaws.
This is something that we had considered. In fact, one of our former PNB directors had actually set up a whole process in terms of how you could change the meetings based on weather, time of year, and things like that. So I think that, you know, those would be factors that we could consider along with the three meetings per year. So, right, you would consider the rotation and the time of the year. Absolutely.
This is Dave.
Dave, please.
The point in the bylaws, the reason they made it specific was because the old board was meeting just in Houston and D.C. all the time and not going into the other signal areas. And, yeah, I agree. It should be something that says that in the course of a given period of time, you meet in each signal area, you know, so that it's balanced. We had the same problem, a related problem, when we had to meet in Houston, right? They just had this hurricane hit, but we had to meet there. So it should be flexible language, and it should allow the board to determine either three or four a year, because there may be times when you would want to have meetings that were regular meetings, not special. So something like that that makes it flexible is definitely the way to go.
Yeah. Okay. So out of this, we are going to perhaps one of us, or we will work with maybe other board members to look at doing this as a change. But I think, you know, this is something we need to do soon.
Actually, may I? One other
sure,
point?
Sure, Dave.
So I can just hear the discussion.
Thank you.
This is a bylaws and governance issue. Why is finance proposing this motion? So I think maybe the best and quickest way to do it would be just to recommend that the board adopt changes in bylaws that permit blah 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 and leave it at that.
Don't you think that if we don't give them specific language, there's a higher chance of it dying on the vine, just because they don't have details to move on right there?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's 6-1, half dozen the other.
Well, actually, that hasn't stopped us when we've gone to these other motions that have been approved, Brian. But again, it depends on.
It should have.
well, you know, somewhere there has to be some sanity in this process, and I think that in the National Finance Committee, I mean, you cannot spend more than what you have. I mean, it's just basics, and until we can enforce this, I mean, we can bring some sanity to this process. You know, we're going to get these motions without structure, without any concrete proposal in them, and the cost is unknown. And asking Lonnie and the national staff to do some work on something that is not structured is just insane. But anyway, I think the language should be a little more specific, like Brian has said. But I think this is something we should definitely move on.
I would be happy to draft something for our next meeting, unless Patty wants to do it.
Are you guys going to work together? Patty, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm unable to do anything at this moment. I am, I'm sorry, I have a huge project until Sunday.
All right, thanks. Okay, Brian, that would be great. Okay.
Are we still on this topic,
I think we can move. This was a related topic you wanted to speak about?
These are two questions I have. Maybe Lonnie could provide the meeting expenses for the Los Angeles and the New York meeting as far as the peripheral costs of the basically the technical crew and can we get a printout of the cost of the meeting of the Los Angeles meeting and the New York meeting, the whole cost, I guess, but specifically I would like the technical costs and all that, the extra stuff, what we had to pay for Friday and Saturday and Sunday and the technical crew and all that. I would like can you get that to us?
Sure.
Could you send that? Now, I would like to compare those two, and because I think the station's getting billed back for those too, so I haven't seen any billed back lately, but I would like to see that.
I'll be happy to do that.
Okay,
thank you.
Your request is to get a cost breakdown of the New York meeting and the LA meetings for is the technical and the other costs.
Uh-huh, all the costs, but specifically like the manpower costs that we spent also.
Or the headcount.
The headcount for that. And the other question, too, is this on this, the bylaws change for the adding another person. Was there financial impact on that? Because adding another person adds money to also, or would be like kind of two persons, right? The financial impact, was there, we should make sure that there's a financial impact for that as well.
I'm sorry, Patty, you're not clear. This is regarding what, the personnel?
Adding the bylaws amendment to add another person to the board. Is the cost incurred in that?
I want the extra travel, extra hotel, extra food that costs to have an additional person added to the board. Is that the question?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there wasn't one given. Right. I mean, everything we do costs money, right?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
A rule of thumb is that depending on where the person, of course, is coming from, you know, from L.A. to New York, of course, it's more expensive on a plane flight. But generally, it costs $300 to $400 for the plane, a similar amount for the hotel, usually $150, $160 a night, depending, of course. And you're into close to $900 per person per trip. So I rounded off to about $1,000 is what the cost will be for an average board person to attend the meeting.
Right. Okay. So then
it's $4,000 a year.
Yeah.
Right. And they want to add another person. Well, it's in the bylaws, but we haven't instituted that. So they basically want two. So you're talking like whatever that is. And then all the phone calls where the people have to call in, and that costs money too per person. So I just want us to be aware that all these things that we do cost money, and we should, this financial impact statement, I'm going to stop talking about it now. So because we've done that in the former agenda item where we're going to come up with like a better financial impact statement report plan. So thank you very much.
Okay. Bonnie?
Casey, please.
Oh, sorry, Casey.
Thank you. I just kind of wanted to throw out that I'm surprised that when we're talking about fundraising by board members, that it's even a question. I mean, I've been on tons of boards. I've never gone on a board where, you know, it wasn't explicitly expected that board members raise money. That's your job. And so, you know, my thought when Lonnie said 50,000, my thought was 50,000 per board member. Then I realized he was talking about $50,000 for the entire board. That's ridiculous. I mean, it's your job as board members to bring money. So it's just, I don't know. I just had to say that because it's driving me nuts. You know, we spent this entire time and the money we spent talking about how much money the board spends, and then we're talking about whether or not it's even a question of whether board members should be bringing money in. So, okay, I'll shut up.
Thank you. When Monday we should definitely look at the budget and also perhaps the finance committee should do some type of motion and again I understand that some people some people can raise a lot more than others, so you know it shouldn't, I mean, in terms of how much you raise should not be reflective in terms of your dedication or anything to the foundation. But I think that, you know, we all should, it is a given. I mean, I expect that too. I mean, I've been on boards where if you don't raise it, you're expected to actually contribute. And I think most of us do contribute through the fund drives to some extent, but that we also should raise funds. I agree, Casey.
Well,
okay.
Perhaps we could recommend that in principle we support board fundraising and have the board endorse at least in principle. My plan, though, and I did say that at our board meeting, is that I was going to bring to the board as part of the budget a dollar figure and ask the board to commit to that figure in its own way, in its own process, and not by individual, of course, but as the board, and have individuals on the board who wish to take up that challenge go ahead and do so that they won't they'll feel strained. They'll have the board supporting the idea.
And I think that in the past, like on the local LSB, that some of us have done fundraising events. I mean, that was like the last fiscal year, not this year. But, I do support that, too.
This is Patty.
Yeah, Patty.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to hang up now and go to to my meeting for a little while so as I can split up my time.
This is Dave?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Dave?
Yeah, I'd like to move to that the Finance Committee recommends that the PMB adopt a resolution that each local station board and the national board shall, at the beginning of each year, and that's the calendar year, provide or specify the amount of money it intends to raise for the foundation during the course of the following year.
Okay.
Did you say that's part of the budget process? Is that what you said?
No, it's
okay.
At the beginning of the national board's term, because it's sort of hard for, I don't think it's appropriate for one board to commit another group of people to a given target. The purpose of the motion is so that, you know, we're not dictating anything, but we're telling you have to plunk down at the beginning of the year and say what your fundraising goal for the year is.
I think that, well, this is just information. In the KPFA LSB budgets, we always did a budget which included both fundraising and expenses. And I don't know what we have to look at this year's, but yeah, we always did that. And I think that should be part of the budgeting process.
Yeah, I think there should be a budget around fundraising too. I agree with you, Madam Chair. You know, maybe the difference between a large donation and not getting it is some board member being able to take a potential donor to lunch.
Exactly.
And, I think that's important to have a budget for that activity, not just to tell people to go sort of manage, do it on your own. So mm-hmm. I agree. It should be budgetized like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
This is Brian.
Yeah, Brian.
I think it's really important to involve the boards in fundraising, but until they're doing that, I don't think it's responsible for us to count on income from that activity. The principle we've gone by has demonstrated the ability to raise funds. And with, you know, important exceptions, most of our boards haven't demonstrated that ability. I really like Dave's idea of making the boards go through a goal-setting process. I think that's a good way of focusing their attention and turning their productive energies to it. And once you have a board that has a good kind of fundraising apparatus set up, a way of involving members in those activities, you can start counting on that in your next year's budget. But, you know, slipping 25 or 50,000 or whatever amount in there that the board hasn't demonstrated the ability to raise already is just a recipe for a shortfall halfway into your fiscal year.
Mm. Well, we would love to. You know, some board members might pick up the challenge, and if they do, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I said, when we did the budget previously, we always put in fundraising for as in addition to expenses for KPFA. Okay, so out of this, there is a recommendation from Dave, or where do we want to go with that?
It's a motion. I'm asking that we vote on it.
Okay, Casey, can you?
This is what I have, Dave. The NFC recommends that the PNB require each LSB to specify an amount of funds to be generated on behalf of the foundation at the beginning of each term of office.
It's at the beginning of each calendar year, and it's each LSB and each and the PMB.
Okay, each LSB and PMB. At the beginning of the calendar year.
At the beginning of the calendar year. Or let's say by February 1st of each year.
Okay.
This is Jane. Can I ask something about this?
Sure, Jane.
I'm really not sure. I mean, like, for example, we're having input into the budget for the upcoming year, and I know at our LSB level, we are, you know, we're going to be talking about some number for the board, target income, and then we're going to work on it. Like Brian said, I don't know that we should count on it till we actually start doing it, but I know that's in our discussion. So I really don't quite understand what this – I don't understand the purpose of this resolution outside of the budget process.
Can I speak to that?
Sure, Dave.
This is not inside the budget process. This is because, as people have noted, you don't know what you actually can do. The point of this is when you have a national board sit down at the beginning of the year, or when you have a new local board that's been constituted after elections in January, one of the first orders of business is for the group to say, this is our target fundraising for the year, and do that by the end of January of your term. Since the national board terms are annual, and since sometimes there's turnover on LSB, it should be an annual goal. It's not something that's going to get put into a budget until it's been said you demonstrate the ability. But it says, what's your target? What are you going to try and do? And it makes every year everybody do it, because while WPFW may be doing it, I can tell you that the national board isn't, nor is KPFK's local station board. So it says, part of life on boards in Pacifica is a specification of your goals around fundraising. And like Brian said, that will, I think, focus attention on the activity.
So again,
not,
the wording...
It's not a mandate to do it. It's a mandate to set a goal and let us know what your goal is.
And again, the wording of this motion?
What do you have?
The NFC recommends that the PNB require that each LSB and the... that the PNB require each LSB and the PNB to specify the amount of funds to be generated on behalf of the foundation by February 1st of each year.
Okay, let me. It's that each body intends to raise.
Specify the amount of funds that each body intends to raise. Okay.
I have a comment on that.
Sure. Jane?
Our January meetings, since I've been on board and also before when I observed the first one, have been insane because of trying to go through the process of selecting new officers. I don't know that it's going to happen in January.
Do you want to make it February by March 1st?
I think that might be a little more doable.
And I'd like to change the language to say the fundraising goal, for instead of how much it intends to raise, it's the fundraising goal for that, for each board.
So to establish a fundraising goal and communicate that to the PNB?
Yeah. And are we doing the council financial impact next? Because I need to step off for about 5 minutes, and I want to be in on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly. We have the motion, and can we get another reading on it with the suggested change?
Okay, I think I've got it. The NFC recommends that the PNB require each LSB and the PNB to specify their fundraising goals for the year by March 1st of each year.
That's beautiful.
I think that, again, in the planning process, I think that the LSB should have a budget with, that includes both the revenue and expenses. So, when this new board comes in, I can see them adopting the budget that's in place, but I don't know. This is just my observation in terms of what we've done in the past. So if we've already committed to this budget, to this LSB budget that includes both fundraising and expenses, and then when the new LSB gets in place, and there could be some tweaks to this that LSB would just support the budget as adopted in the previous the budgeting process.
Yeah, but I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go, this is good.
No, go ahead.
Like
you're not going outside of the budget process and spending money. You're talking about how much additional money you're going to bring in. So I don't see that it's an issue. I mean, it's not like you're coming in after a budget.
Lucy?
Hello?
That's Baruch.
It's kind of a... Can you hold on for a second? Your voice is like, you're static.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, still there. Go ahead. Casey.
Yeah, I think I said it, that it's just, I mean, I don't see that it's an issue with budget. It's not like you're coming in after a budget's been approved several months ago and talking about what you're committing to spend. You're talking about how much additional you're committing to being raised.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wait just a second. All right. Dave.
I don't envision this as an amount of money that people are going to be putting in their budget so that you're sitting there depending on a subsequent group to raise the money. I see this as basically gravy. This is money that the boards raise and goes in and becomes part of the surplus at the end of every year. It drops into the bottom line, and as you build up your reserves, you know, you may choose to spend some of that money on capital projects or other things, but I don't see it, at least anytime soon, being incorporated into the budgets. It's going to be incorporated into the amount of money that gets raised when we raise it.
You're saying this is not a budget. This is just a goal that the LHSB. Well, again, you know, well, it goes back to what we had done at KPFA in the past, is that the LHSB actually, in each planning cycle, we actually generated a budget. For the LSB, that was part of the budget, total budget that was approved for KPFA.
This fiscal year's budget for the LSB includes no fundraising income because the previous year fell far short of the goals in the LSB's budget.
It fell short, but there are other issues also in terms of the fundraising. But I think as a station, that's what we attempted to do in the past, and I think that last year, I think the reason why it wasn't really adhered to was that there were lots of other issues going on at the time, including issues with management, with the general manager, and where the budget was going. But I think that we should go back to what our process, and I think we had a good process, which is to develop that we should have a budget, and that then the budget should have fundraising in it, and it should have expenses. You know, whether it's a wash or not, you know, I don't think that wasn't anything that we were trying to achieve, but we were trying to achieve some fundraising goals and I think we did. The point is that, you know, and I think that we did do that, and I think that we were somewhat successful. Go ahead.
It sounds like what Dave's proposing isn't exclusive of boards choosing to put that in their budgets or stations choosing to put board fundraising in their budgets. He's saying regardless of whether or not you're budgeting for it, the board should be setting some fundraising goal.
Correct.
Be gravy, it may be what's in the budget, but that there should be a goal-setting process that happens after each new board is constituted.
Right, and I understand that. I'm just saying that we'd actually gone through a process where we actually put in place, and in prior years that there should be, the LSB should develop a budget too, and that I understand the point that you're making is that when this new board is actually elected, that there should be an effort, a goal, and a commitment really by the board to do this type of fundraising, which is fine. I mean, we have gone beyond that in the past, but this is good.
Is there any objection, or could we go ahead and move?
Well, you know, I have an objection.
Go ahead, Lonnie.
Well, I think that, you know, if you make it a goal that has no real requirement or commitment behind it, it won't get done. Mm-hmm. We will not raise, they won't raise a dime. I think it ought to be a minimum. I think what many organizations do is they say each board member should raise a minimum of whatever they want to set for their minimum. But to have a goal that has no serious intent behind it, no budget, and no plan, or might be just inviting, you know, something not to happen. Some boards might do it, some boards might. You're sort of making it optional. I think that... partly it's a commitment you want for folks to realize you are part of the station, part of the what is amounting to an organization that needs funds and raises millions of dollars. And that question on the table is, what minimum amount does each board member of each LSB or PNB believes that board should raise. It could be a small number, easily obtainable number, but I think it should be taken seriously as a goal in terms of actually producing some revenue.
So how would you suggest putting teeth in it?
Well, I think that setting a goal is having, I'm thinking that it should be that each board member should raise $100. I mean, many board members are giving that amount anyway. I think we start out by having an actual number that people will commit to and that it will be part of, well, it's part of the budget. It's academic to me, but I do think that the funds ought to be raised, that it's not optional, that the funds simply, that the goals be dropped in the middle of the year after having been discussed.
This is Dave.
Are you through, Lonnie?
Yeah, I just think that we ought to have that be clear, that people are expected, once the goal has been set, to produce.
Okay. Dave?
Yeah, there's no way to do that, and our bylaws don't provide for any requirement for members to do that in order to remain members. You could do it by, sort of putting a glass on it. You might say that the amount will be reported, for example, or their progress toward the goal would be reported at every board meeting. You could do that. So if you keep saying, here's what we said, here's where we are, sooner or later people are going to get the message. But there is no way to impel it, and there is no way, practically speaking, to put sanctions in against people who don't. And to a degree, it's not even appropriate because we do have, we've had people on boards various times during history who have even been homeless, I believe. Not sure of that. But we certainly have very low-income people. There's one person here in L.A. who absolutely doesn't have the capacity to raise money. He has difficulty even supporting himself. There's no way to impel it. You can use mechanisms to make people want to do it. But the reason for the form of the motion is if you say you're going to do something and then we could add to it regular reporting, that's about as strong an incentive as you can put in there, I believe.
Casey?
Yes, Casey.
I would just say that I understand everything you're saying, Dave, but I'm just going to use my organization as an example because it's an anti-poverty organization, and we, as a rule, have low-income people who represent the low-income community on our board. But our board knows that as a board member, you're expected in some way to generate $20,000 during your term on the board. So when we set up ways for those low-income people to make their commitment. We make sure that we've got some sort of an event going on where they can spend, a time committed to making sure that they're making their part of the goal. Other people are able to say, well, I only came up with $15,000, and they write a check. But we know that there are people who are not able to do that, and we want to make sure that they're able to be on the board. So it's our job to make sure that there are other ways to help them make that commitment. And I think that it takes time and it takes energy, but, it's part of being a board member.
But
Jane. The key words I was hearing from Casey sounds to me like, Casey, that you are a staff person in this organization?
An executive director.
Okay, so the staff is providing the board with the resources it needs in this, to some degree, to do its job. And we have not had that luxury up until. As I was listening to the discussion back and forth, I pretty much agree with what Dave was saying, that the most we could do is ask that there be reporting on this, that there be goals set and that there be reporting on it at each PMB meeting. But, beyond that, I think that if we really want this to happen, somehow we're going to have to find a way to really just figure out how is it going to happen, provide the boards, the local station boards, with the tools that they need to do the fundraising, because quite a few of us are spending a lot of time trying to do our job well, we're not getting a lot of support from the staff. I could go into that in detail, but it's not necessary. Just say that we really do not get the tools we need from the staff on other things. So that's just for what it's worth comment. I'm really not sure how I would vote on this motion the way it stands. I really like the intent of it, but I do think that if we really want it to happen, we're going to have to invest. Some of us are going to have to invest some time and resources into developing a strategy, working with the staff to ensure that, you know, that they can provide a certain amount of guidance or, you know, set things up, whatever.
Brian here.
Brian.
The only way I could see putting teeth into this, and I don't know if you want to go there, is that you could make the local station boards regularly publish a report card, not on how the board as a whole is doing, but on how members are doing. It would at least raise the possibility of that becoming an elections issue.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's where the accountability lies for board members.
And also, you know, maybe some board members are not even members. I don't know the answer to that question. Are all board members members?
If not, they shouldn't be board members anymore. That's in the Bible.
I would think. I mean, when you vote, you're voting for yourself. I mean, you would vote. You would become a member in order to at least vote for yourself. But
members, some of them, you know, you're looking at who has donated, whether it's time or whether it's, you know, made a pledge.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have left, and you sort of want to know. You know, I'm thinking that the commitment can be simply, you know, making your yearly pledge. Some organizations really do that as well through the pledge process, where they say what they're pledging to that organization, and it's a statement of their commitment. Some don't and don't want to do that, but those that do want to work hard and raise money shouldn't be deterred from it. You know, there should be a way for them to be able to do it and get recognized. And also, I think you do have to invest in this process. I think a budget is appropriate. And that board members need training and support, let's build that in. It's not a one-year process. We may want to cultivate this so that we can have effective board members, those that want to do it.
Okay.
And that's what I found on the board. There were three or four board people who really want to raise money, and they feel that they just need a way to get that done.
Okay. This is Lauren. I think that the point that Jane has made is very well taken, and I think that, you know, until we have, like, the development directors in place who are going to support board fundraising, and also when we get the national development director in place in order to do that. But I think, again, it goes back to what you feel your commitment is. And if you personally feel that, you know, either you're going to support through fundraising or just through contributions to some extent, that, you know, that one person, that we will do that. But I think we definitely need to move. We need to move to commitment to fundraising as part of our, and I think that, you know, it serves a double purpose, because it will involve the board more in with the, you know, board members who are listeners would be more involved with your major donors and with fundraising, and that's something that I think as Casey said, I mean, that's your basic responsibility, and that's why you're on the board. And I think that all of us can contribute in that. And I know we've had some questions and some issues with that at KPFA. So, you know, how we should structure this is kind of contingent again upon, you know, the development director at the local stations and a national development director to move these projects forward.
Casey?
Sure.
I'll just one more point in that I think that a development director is part of it, but for me, it's also the fact that certainly at KPFK we don't, and I don't know about the other stations, but I would suspect that it's the same, that we do not have in any way a comprehensive volunteer program. And that's something, you know, that the organization needs to invest in, which is the fundamentals of a real volunteer program that recruits and recognizes, that has a board, you know, that has a skills bank, that does, I mean, these are just normal things that organizations that use volunteers do. And the only time this seems to come up is around election time when people complain that nobody knows how many hours somebody's given. Well, there are liability issues involved. There are all kinds of issues involved. But I know that we pay a full-time volunteer coordinator, but we do not have a volunteer program. And I don't believe that, you know, the foundation has one. In fact, I'm pretty sure the foundation itself doesn't have one, and I don't know the status of other stations, but my guess is that they don't either. And beyond a development person, it seems that a volunteer coordinator, either from the stations or from the foundation, would be able to facilitate this process and move it along. I think that, you know, that to me, a volunteer program is so essential at this point that that would be a very prudent investment. And it takes care of liability issues, it takes care of income issues, it takes care of reducing costs, it takes care of doing outreach. It covers so many bases that it's worth it to put some money in now to make sure that you've got a return on that.
Right. Yeah, I totally support that. This is Lamar. And again, the motion is good, but I think all of these other issues, what Case has talked about, has to come into play with before we just do an outright motion to say let's do these things, because there are too many other factors involved. But I think that we should make as on a commitment level we should, I don't know, I'll have to listen to the motion again, that we should personally be committed to fundraising and to supporting the foundation. Brian?
Yes, Dave.
And then Dave.
You know, I had conversations with our development director, who's also our interim general manager now, about how to involve the board in fundraising. And, you know, she had approached a couple people, a couple of whom were helpful and a couple of whom said, "You're dreaming if you think I'm going to ask my friends to give money to the station," which was disappointing to her. But when we started doping out, like, what it would take to involve every board member, she said, "If we're talking about $20,000 or $30,000 over the course of a year, it's just not a cost-effective use of my staff time." I mean, this might not be the case at a smaller station, but in terms of her hours spent supporting board members in small increments of fundraising, is going to raise less money than if she spends a comparable amount of time doing fund drive planning, direct mailings, major donor calls, grant writing, and so forth. So I think, you know, it's up at some level, it's going to have to be up to the boards to take some initiative.
This is Laverne. Yeah, I think that, you know, in the past...
I was on the staff.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think we can go ahead with this. I think that all the other issues that people are talking about are things that come into focus once you start. The problem with our governance structure is there are a million negative levers, a million ways to stop action, and very few positive levers to actually move something. I think once boards start committing or even discussing and reporting how they're doing, it will focus them to address all these other issues. Without addressing Brian's point, I don't think that we should wait to do something comprehensive, and I don't think we should spend any more time now. I think we should say that we're gonna identify what we're gonna try and raise, and as boards try and raise it, they will work out all these issues. And I think we should move forward.
Okay. I'm sorry. Who is that?
Jane.
Yes, Jane, please.
Before we vote on this motion, I think it might be helpful if we add just a couple more words to help clarify that it is outside of the normal budget process. I don't know if we can just change a word or two or add a couple more, because I think a lot of people are going to have this on the board, on the PMB, and also our local stations are going to have the same questions we have gone through, trying to understand how this relates to the budget process.
Right.
So I don't have a computer. I don't have the words in front of me. But if there is anybody who could provide a little bit of clarity to the language before we vote on it, I would like that.
Okay. Casey, can you read what we have? Oh, Dave, go ahead.
Such fundraising goals are those above and beyond No, Hank, forget it. Forget it. It's just too many traps.
Okay, let me just go over in terms of at KPFA and Brian was in terms of what Lindlum had positioned. Not this past year, but I guess it was the prior year, or maybe it was the year before then, KPFA in terms of board fundraising and those issues, I think we kind of like, there was some devolution because of, the issues with the management, with the general manager and going through that whole long process. But prior to then, when we thought we were moving forward on these issues, that, one of our board members, Marnie Tattersall, she organized, the museum thing and raised, I'm not sure, was it $1,700, $2,300 or more on that. And she involved, I mean, she had the staff involved and she, managed that. And it was very, very successful in terms of getting, major donors, staff, and everyone at the Legion of Honor, and it was a tremendous event. And I even did a little one where I involved some of the staff, and we did a baseball game, the A's game, and you know the A's gave a little on the scoreboard. You know they thanked KPFA FM on there. So you know, we were in the mode to do those things, and it was moving forward. In fact, we still have that opportunity to do a little baseball game or something this summer. But
so
you know, go ahead.
Can you help clarify this motion so that all the rest of the world out there will understand what we mean by it?
I think I have an idea.
Okay, Steve, go ahead.
I know I have an idea. I think it's good. The idea is that the motion should say that monies raised by the LSB in the prior year will be available for inclusion in the subsequent year's budget.
Hmm?
What? Monies that have been raised by the LSB. Actually, what we need to do is have a budget line, which is LSB, but board raised funds in the income statement. But anyhow, the idea
We have that at KPFA. We have board to fundraise, and we have those lines.
The point is that as of September of each year, you look at how much the board raised in the prior year, and you put that money. You can put that money as income in the following year.
Can I just suggest something? Can we work on this and come back with this motion on Monday also? Because we've been going on for a long time and. We still don't have it down yet. So,
Casey.
Oh, sure. Casey.
Yeah, sorry. I got cut off.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jane, did you ask to speak?
I was going to say that if we can put it off until Monday, Dave, I'll try to, if you can email that out to us, maybe you already have, I'd be glad to throw some ideas back and forth to people, maybe come up with language that addresses my concern at least.
That's fine. I hope we can dispense with it quickly.
I think we've discussed it enough.
Meditation on what we do.
Okay. All right.
And this is Jane. I have to drop off for the time being.
Okay. Thank you, Jane.
I can.
Okay. Shall we move to the... Dave, did you need to step off for a minute?
No.
Okay. So can we move then to the... financial impact of communications with Pacifica attorneys. And the time now, let's do a time check. It's about 7:24. So how much time do we have? 15 minutes. Is that enough time to allow to this, a lot to this? And should we, or how should we move on? Should we try to get out of here by 7:45 my time?
That would be great. I might have to drop off, Madam Chair, so that would be wonderful.
Okay, so we're going to shoot for 7:45. Okay.